101 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
But I wanted to make sure that I can, you know, fit it down my mouth. So I had to make sure that it wasn't, I had to make sure it could get down the throat. That's what I was looking for there with the ice cream sandwich.
Thankfully, you left the ice cream sandwich part in there. Lugie! It is After Hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. It is the phone number to call. As soon as the Met game wraps up, we will talk some Mets. That'll be later this hour. We will get into what John Harbaugh had to say about Cam Scataboo and the backflip that wasn't, the failed backflip attempt. No Yankees tonight. Game was rained out. Doubleheader tomorrow, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Max Fried will make his return to the Yankees in Game 2. He will be on a pitch count somewhere around 60 to 66 pitches. So instead of having a rehab or another rehab assignment here, Max Fried will just get a start in the major leagues on a pitch count. That will be Game 2 of the doubleheader tomorrow against the Pirates. Gerrit Cole will get the ball in Game 1. So a very jam-packed. You'll hear both games on WFAN right here. 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. A lot of baseball tomorrow from the Yankees. You get Cole. You get the return of Fried. As far as Stanton goes, Aaron Boone did his weekly spot with Talking Yanks, the John Boy podcast, and this was Boone on Stanton as far as how he's feeling. Quote, actually, he's doing pretty well and should be back in a, quote, reasonable amount of time, which is a classic Aaron Boone answer. I'm not sure what he means by reasonable amount of time. I mean, Stanton has been out since April 24th, which was when the Knicks were playing the Hawks in the first round of the NBA playoffs. The Knicks parade was already over a month ago. It's been a minute since we've seen Stanton. And we kept hearing, or recently we kept hearing, there's no timetable for his return. And I feel like this is an Aaron Boone, quite frankly, spin job by saying, well, he's actually doing pretty well, and he'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Go out with your boys on a Saturday night. Call, you know, either pull an ET and phone home, or text your wife and say, honey, I'm doing pretty well right now, and I'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Let me know how that goes over. Yeah, I'll be back in a reasonable amount of time. Now, for some people, a reasonable amount of time is, you know, let's say you call around 11, you're back by midnight. For others, you call at 11, and you're back by 7 in the morning, and you say, well, what, that wasn't a reasonable amount of time? You might be back by next week. I said it was going to be a reasonable amount of time. So how does Aaron Boone and the Yankees deem that sort of time frame, reasonable amount of time? Listen, I think Aaron Judge is going to be back before Stanton. Your guess is as good as mine when Stanton returns to the lineup. If I'm the Yankees, I and Brian Cashman, I would operate with the idea that Stanton is not coming back to the team this year. Judge, I think, will be back. Stanton, I'm starting to get more and more doubt in my mind that he'll be back. And I'm certainly not encouraged by Aaron Boone saying that Stanton is actually doing pretty well and he'll be, quote, back in a reasonable amount of time. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's go to Chris in Monmouth County. He joins us. What's up, Chris?
Yo, Tommy, how are you, man?
Hey.
Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
So I got a couple things for you. First, getting back to a couple things and then something related to Paulie.
Yep.
The guy from Freehold, I live in the town over. Princeton, he said the Ben Spoon good place, better place is Halo Creamery. The Ben Spoon is going to have your organic, eclectic flavors. You want traditional flavors, but delicious, good ice cream, like delicious, is Halo Creamery. It's right near Princeton University. It's called Palmer Square. So it's literally where Princeton University is.
Okay.
You ever get out there, go there, Palmer, it's Palmer Square. Second, with the dating, you're wrong on the movies, and I'll get to Paulie. You're wrong on the movies. Here's why, Tommy. With respect.
You're saying going to a movie, you would go to a movie, on a first date, you would go to the
100%.
Movies.
100%. Here's why.
Okay.
Because let's say you're feeling the girl, or she's feeling you, or maybe you don't even know. It's a 50-50 deal, right?
Right.
There's some attraction there.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the movies, you're not talking at the movies, to your point before.
Right.
But you go to the movie, come out of the movie, what do you do for a few minutes? You talk about the movie, you know how to play it from there. That movie non-communication gets you to the second date, potentially faster to a dinner where this ain't going too well. And you might want to bail it anyway, but you kind of like the girl anyway. The movie gets you to the dinner date.
What are you saying? At the dinner date, you use all your material up? You might, you know, two hours of talking, so it saves a little bit.
I don't know. Or you think you're on, and she knows you're off. And you're like, I'm not going to, you don't get that text back.
I thought you wanted to take her to the movies to give her the Mario test or the door test.
I'm married like you, so none of this matters. But, okay, a couple weeks ago, Paulie can claim this up. He was producing for Evan and Tiki, and they were asking him about his girlfriend.
Were they really
married? This and that.
Is that true? So wait, hold on a second here, Chris.
Well, I gotta get to the point there.
Well, I am, but I want to interject here because Paulie never said this to me, both on and off air. I wasn't under the impression that Evan and Tiki, Paulie, were pressing. And I assume this was Marash too. Were pressing you?
No, I don't think Marash was there.
Evan
Maybe
and Tiki
he was,
were
know.
Pressing you about your. Because I never even referenced the fact that you have a girlfriend. I just think that, I don't know. I just don't think that people.
It's
I have
like
to
an 11-month deal, right, Paulie? Something like that. Paulie was straight, polite. Respectful, and so was everything. But again, and Evan, you know, kind of gets into Evan mode, right? Nick hating Evan. So he said, and this is my ask Tommy, you know, whatever time it is, it's 11:07, 10:07, whatever.
Yes.
So they talked about Evan didn't go to your wedding.
He did not.
Paulie said to Evan, you know, would you come to my wedding? Or something to that effect. And he goes, well, if I had nothing to do, probably. And then Paulie respectfully said, if you come to my wedding and you didn't go to Tommy's wedding, they're asking, Evan is saying, am I dead to Tommy? And Evan said, I'm absolutely dead to Tommy. My question to you is, if Evan went to any wedding of Paulie or anyone else, is Evan dead to you because he didn't go to your wedding?
No. Number one, I don't think Evan is going to go to Paul's wedding or anyone's real wedding unless it's... You'd have to be so tight with. So let's just put it this way. If working on Evan and Tiki all those years, if Sean and I were both single and one of us got married during that show, I lean towards Evan would have went to the wedding. Now the stars would, it'd have to be perfect. He'd have to, you know, stars have to align. But I do think he would have went there because we were working on the show every single day. Paulie obviously just fills in once in a while. So I don't think Evan would go to that wedding. But if he did, no, he would not be dead to me. Look, I kind of figured Evan was 50-50. He was very much let me know right away, sent a gift. So he did everything right by me when it comes to the wedding. So I have no issue with that. And if he went to a wedding, a Paulie's or somebody like that, he would not be dead to me. I just didn't realize they were pressing you on this topic because I always kind of keep that topic a little bit tight-lipped. Because number one, I'm going to have to meet her one day and she probably hates me already, but I don't want to make her hate me even more because some people maybe in the audience don't realize that it's sometimes a little bit of the entertainment aspect. And I understand that. You know what I mean? She's a little bit too close to the situation. So I don't want to pry, especially when the topic is her. You know what I mean? I don't think that's fair. It's not fair to her. She's not part of the show.
Right. It wasn't totally that. I did a Cinco on what I thought about Disney.
You were talking about your trip with her to Disney.
I did a Cinco about the Disney discoveries as an adult that I made.
Gotcha.
And afterwards, Tiki was like, okay, you went with the lady friend, et cetera, et cetera. And then for the next 10 to 12 minutes, it was, what's the future like? What's this? What's that?
I could have skipped through. If I was sitting there, I would have said, you could ask Paulie every single question like it's an interrogation. He's not going to give you a straight answer because he's never given a straight answer in the history of his life. And whether or not he's going to ask this girl a straightforward question that is either a yes or no remains to be seen. But Paulie doesn't give straight answers. It's always, he always beats around the bush. Well, maybe, we'll see, it depends. A couple things have to go right. A couple things have to break my way. We don't know about the economy. We don't know about maybe COVID can come back. We got to see what's going on here. And there's this intestinal thing going around. So I got to see, there's a tornado warning.
Cyclops.
Yeah, that's you though. And I know that about you. So that's probably the reason why I don't bring it up on the show, because I know you're not going to give a straight answer. You know, I've heard some of the things you've said off air. Nothing disparaging, but it's just you being you. And there's no cure for what you have. So whatever you got going on there, Paulie, is what you got going on there. But yeah, as far as I know, you've been in a relationship for over a year. Now, I could give you some advice, but, you know, it would come. I think if I were to give you advice on the radio, people would say, well, Tommy, he just, like, you know, he criticizes Paul all the time. Now he's going to give him advice. You got to take it with a grain of salt. But I think I've made it clear what my advice would be. You know, Paul, I mean, listen, you're not getting any younger back there. Let's just put it that way. But not that that should really matter. I think it's just obviously if you have a connection. But, yeah, they shouldn't be, because if I was in your shoes, I wouldn't want to be prodded like that. You know what I mean? Even if
right.
I was sure.
No, I agree. I agree with that to an extent. That?
Because you know why? Because I know how this radio station works. Even if she's not listening, she'll find out. I've learned that a long time ago. There's rats everywhere. There's snitches. Well, canaries. There's canaries all over the place.
I wouldn't say they're rats or snitches. I would say, hey, I heard Rosie talking about this on the air. Did you listen?
And then it's telephone, tele-wrestler, yes. And she's getting it secondhand, and then your ass is grass, so to speak. So that's why it's, you know what I mean? Because she heard it from a friend who heard it from another friend that heard it from another friend. And by the time it gets to her, it's misinterpreted what was said. It's like, go back on the Odyssey app on the rewind function, and you can listen for yourself, and then you can decide
the
punishment based on
it. Well, they did because they posted it as a podcast.
Did they really? And what was your answer, by the way?
I forgot.
And I'm telling you right now. I already got a wedding coming up next year, and I'm the best man, and I got to plan the bachelor party. So if you are getting married, don't do it next year. That's just my personal request.
Okay.
You could live by that? We'll see. It depends. Got to figure it out.
Got
to go through my financials.
Well,
I mean, it takes two to tango. Last time I checked, she's not proposing to you. Well, that would be something. It is 2026, but I still feel like the men proposes to the women in these spots. Had enough out of you. All I know is it better not be next year. I'm already booked. Yeah, I'm already booked. My schedule will not allow it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to... Oh, boy. I think I'm going to get it wrong again, Lena. Is it Lena? Lena is joining... Well, let's go with Lena. Lena is joining us from Little Falls, New Jersey. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
There you go.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. I have two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
First question is, what's your favorite ethnic cuisine? My second question is, what is it like to have worked with Evan Roberts? He's mm-hmm. my celebrity crush. And can you please tell him somebody in New Jersey has a crush on him?
I will. He will probably answer extremely awkwardly. Now, what is it about Evan that, and when you say like, I could say like Italian food is my favorite ethnic food, right? Does that count? That would count, right? I like Thai
Not
too.
Not really.
Thai food? Does that count?
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's mine too. Mm-hmm. My favorite also.
Love it, especially the drunken noodles. Like, I'm a sucker for spicy food. Give me spicy food on top of spicy food. Now, Evan is your celebrity crush because of his sports knowledge, I would imagine?
He's a nerd. Nerds are attractive.
Yeah, he's successful.
He's shy. He's also a walking sports encyclopedia.
He is. You say he's shy, but he also does this for a living. So I think that you can't be... I understand it's a little bit different if you're in front of people or you're in front of a microphone, but I don't know if you can be shy per se and do what we do for a living. You have to have some sort of outgoing personality. But the other things, absolutely, definitely... A nerd, but a sports nerd. I don't think Evan outside
sports
of that
nerd,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. An encyclopedia. But yeah, I'll let him know. And where'd you say you're in Little Falls, right? New Jersey?
Yeah.
I'll let him know. Now, did you want to know who my crushes were? Was that part of this?
You could tell me. It's fine.
Yeah, because it said it on the board here. Oh, maybe I see why. Paulie wrote celeb crushes. You wanted to give your celeb crush. I understand.
Yeah.
I thought you wanted
to. I know who yours is. Cindy Sweeney?
Well, it is Sydney Sweeney, but I have a... Obviously, it's Cindy Sweeney, yes. It's Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Pam Anderson. That's kind of my top three.
Okay.
But I'll give a couple of other ones here, and I appreciate the call. Let me give you two other ones here to chew on a little bit. One's a singer, one's an actress. Ella Langley is a singer, country singer, huge, just completely blowing up. Jews in Texas, that song is like number one everywhere. You can't go like 3 feet without hearing that song. Great song, by the way. Great singer. So she would be up there. Let me give you an actress. And she's a local girl. She's from New Jersey. We're actually the same age. So perhaps it's a fate. No, but Kristen Milioti, who was the mother in How I Met Your Mother. She's also Sofia Falcone in The Penguin, or was in the one season that existed of that. She was in Wolf of Wall Street. Kristen Milioti, big crush, very funny, super underrated, extraordinary actress, and just really her personality and humor. So like her talent and looks, of course, but her talent is just incredible. And a local girl I don't know if she still lives there, but according to Wikipedia, she's from New Jersey. And she is my age. And our birthdays are 3 days apart. I just have a wife, but we could take care of that. That's not a big deal. I mean, that's a little bit of a loophole that we have. We could figure that one out. Let's let not that get in the way of this obvious sort of connection that her and I have. But yeah, she is the mother in How I Met Your Mother, which it all comes full circle because that's one of Evan's favorite shows. The thing about Evan, and I have to, the next time I talk to him, off air. This won't be an on air conversation, but off air, Evan's two of his favorite shows. I would say Evan's, and I'm speaking for him, his three favorite shows of all time, not counting, you know, SportsCenter. His three favorite shows of all time are All in the Family. Okay, let's put that to the side. But the other two are Friends and How I Met Your Mother. Aren't those kind of technically the same shows? And I think they're both. I think How I Met Your Mother is great. I think Friends is very good. They're the same show. Yes, How I Met Your Mother is more talking about it in flashbacks, and it's this idea of telling your kid. I don't want to give away the full show and this, what happened, but it's the idea of telling your kids about the story of How I Met Your Mother, but it was really more about the experiences that got you to that point of the story and all the friendship and all the stories and all the moments they had. But it is people living in New York, although they're filming it in LA, 25 to 30, instead of going to a coffee shop, they go to a bar. It's kind of the same thing. You got Joey Tribbiani, you got Barney Stinson. It's kind of the same show. So for Evan to like both, it's like, well, yeah, you kind of just like that type of show. But yes, Kristen Milioti plays the mother in that, and then Sofia Falcone in The Penguin, which she was awesome. So if I had to give like two more, like I always talk about Sydney Sweeney and Tiffany Amber Thiessen, so you've heard that one a million times. But if you want to say two celebrity crushes right now, Kristen Milioti, like I said, 3 days apart on the birthday, same age, she's from New Jersey. I'm from New York. I don't know. It just feels like the stars align there. And then Ella Langley, obviously a huge country music star. If you don't know who she is, look her up. 888, which you should know who she is. Massive, massive musician. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Ask Tommy Anything. It is. We could also talk a little sports here, which we have. I've given you all the Yankee news and notes. Max Fried will return to the mound tomorrow instead of a rehab assignment. Meaning Max Fried will pitch in game two. Gerrit Cole will pitch in game one. Speaking of pitching, Zach Thornton had another great start. We'll get more into the Mets as soon as this game wraps up. That is the top of the ninth. The Mets are up 4-0. Zach Thornton with another strong performance from the Mets. And he obviously, to me, he wasn't on that list, Thornton, of untouchables for the Mets at the trade deadline here. But he's got to be. Thornton's got to be on that list. He is absolutely impressed. I'm glad he got another start here. And I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to see a lot of Thornton, Zach Thornton, that is, in the second half for the Mets. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Ozzie is in Woodridge. Ozzie?
Hello, TMS.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Yes.
Two Armenians in a row, the lovely Lena and myself. I think that's a first right now for WFAN.
It certainly could be. Only you, Ozzy, would even know. I didn't even know you were Armenian, to be honest with you. But then again, I don't know if we've dove into all of our personal lives. We have met off-air a few times, but I didn't know that about you. So, Ozzy, even when I think I know everything about you, or at least I know what you're going to bring to the table, you find a way to surprise me.
If it means anything to you? I've been mistaken for Italian a lot, so we're kind of like brothers from another mother named Mary.
You don't have to give your last name out on the air, but I just think of your last name as Woodridge. You know what I mean? Because obviously we're on a first name. Everyone knows, which is kind of interesting. Everybody knows my last name, but I can't know your last name. Not that I need to know it, but it's Ozzy as far as I know, and then Woodridge is the last name.
Well, I give out my last name, all my haters will like destroy my life, take
well,
my social, all that stuff.
Ozzy, as you know, you and I are both in acquired taste. And that's why, because I'll get the hate when you're on the air and I'll get tweets. Why do you do this for Ozzy? Why does it feel like you have special effort treatment for Ozzy? And because I look at Ozzy like me. I look at us as both acquired tastes. You know, at first you're like, Ozzy, but you grow on people like a fungus. Same thing with me.
I'm a fun guy, that's why.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We're two wild and crazy guys. Therefore, I gave you a reference, an older reference for our older audience.
Saturday Night Live, baby. Mm-hmm. Steve Martin and Chevy Chase, I believe.
Dan Aykroyd.
There we go. Mm-hmm. See that? The youngster teaching the old guy a little bit about history.
Well, I mean, and I'm also teaching our audience that these same people that write nasty things about you, Ozzy, and let's be real, these are people that are sitting at home with their mothers watching Murder, She Wrote every night, but the people that hate us on the internet, they don't think I know anything about anything, but I prove them on a nightly basis that I have a vast knowledge of not only sports, but of pop culture.
Yeah, well, it's useless information. There you go. Get you by in life, though. Make small talk.
It does. Yes, absolutely. I hate small talk, as you know. But yes, small talk is a big part of schmoozing. It's a big part of getting ahead in any field. You know that, Ozzy.
Yeah. I should have said originally I'm Ozzy from Weehawken when I first called way back when.
Right, you were So you So you lived in Weehawken all those years. Is this when you were a college professor or whatever? You were a gym teacher, right? Oh, phys ed. I apologize.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, you know what, Ozzy, though. Isn't phys ed? But I feel like gym teachers might disparaging, and the phys ed is more of the PC term. I'm a phys ed teacher. If you say you're a gym teacher, it's kind of like, yeah, you're a gym teacher. Makes sense.
Yeah, a gym teacher and college professor, same thing.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was in Hoboken all the time. I was a little scared little white boy. I was afraid of the city, so I was always hanging out in Hoboken.
I love Hoboken.
Connor Green's stopping ground.
Yeah,
right,
Connor
now.
Green is a Hoboken. He was in the city for a while, but now I think he's back in Hoboken. But, yeah, if you went by Ozzy and Weehawken now, maybe you should do that. I wouldn't even realize it's you. I would just think it's a different Ozzy.
Yeah, well, they both begin with the letter W. But I'm concerned about my buddy Rosie. Rosie, how's that calf strain from that wave pool, bro?
Recovering nicely, Ozzy. Thank you, as always, for asking. I appreciate that, my friend.
Rosie the Martyr, recovering nicely. What are you, Kevin Durant? You're not coming off an Achilles injury.
It might have been, frankly.
It was anything. You got a splinter, I think, at the wave pool at the Blizzard
Beach.
No,
the first big wave really just took me by surprise.
There are literally children in there getting hit by those waves, and they're fine. You, as a 40-year-old adult male, got injured at a wave pool?
Brutal, a Typhoon Lagoon, man.
It's not brutal. It's not a tsunami. It's literally just it's a wave pool. You're lucky if the wave even hits your belly button.
Have you ever been in a wave pool?
Yes, I've been to Splish Splash many times.
That's
not
a real wave pool.
What are you talking? What do you think? Blizzard Beach has a superior wave pool to Splish Splash?
Typhoon Lagoon.
What did I say?
Blizzard Beach.
Does it matter, Paul?
The other water.
Does it matter? Honestly.
Well, there's two different parks.
But it doesn't matter. The detail.
They're two different parks.
But it doesn't matter. Nobody knows that. Because nobody knows where the wave pool is. So if I said the wave pool at Blizzard Beach, and then you have to correct me with Typhoon Lagoon, that part of the story, that detail of the story, is irrelevant to the story. The real crux of the story is you are, quite frankly, a wuss. And you're a martyr, and you're a hypochondriac. You walk around. The things, Oz, and our audience, the things that Paul Rosenberg has said to me off air about his troubled life, he doesn't, what is it? You don't have the correct amount of chromosomes?
No, I don't have the... I don't have the...
You're an idiot, is what you are, but no, what are you... What don't you have?
I don't have the chromosome to grow muscles.
Right. You don't lift weights because you don't... No, that's code for you're lazy and you don't want to get off your fat ass and lift weights. This guy walks around, Oz, and Ozzy is a gym teacher. He's got the huge pipes. He's got big guns. So he's a working out kind of guy. Rosenberg says he doesn't have the correct amount or the right amount of chromosomes to build muscle.
No, I'm missing the muscle chromosome.
Yeah, you're
There's
missing...
One specific
yeah, it's called motivation.
Chromosome.
That's what you're missing.
I'm missing
motivation.
That chromosome. I've tried everything. Working out. The juice.
Well, I noticed this from knowing you, Paul. Your stomach's gotten bigger over the years, so that muscle has no problem growing.
No, it does not. And frankly...
When's the last time you basically saw your schwanz? I mean, that stomach of yours is just absolutely enormous. I noticed it today. I'm like, geez, you didn't skip any meals down at Disney. And look, I go through some fluctuations, so who am I to talk? But boy, you're looking a little hefty.
I've actually lost some pounds.
Well, I'm here to report you found it. So, all right. And then what is the deal? One of your toes is longer than the other or something like that?
No. When I think my left leg is like a half inch longer than my right leg.
God.
What does that have to do with? So you hear what I'm dealing with here, Ozzy? So this is Paul Rosenberg in a nutshell. This is some of the things that... So all of us, you know, have, you know, hardships in life and things we have to get over as people. But Rosenberg will just invent things like one leg is longer than the other, or he doesn't have the XY chromosome in order to lift weights and actually grow muscles. Is there anything else we're missing here, Paulie?
The best part about this, Ozzy, is Tommy thinking it's chromosome and not chromosome.
Yes. Paulie needs to go. He was bellyaching the other day. He's got to go for 75 root canals coming up because of his bad teeth or whatever the case may be. So did we miss anything here? Cardiologist? What else you got going on over there?
Oh, listen, the heart is a whole other issue.
Yeah. So, but I didn't miss any sort of chromosome or why you can't lift muscle or you can't run for a long period of time because of something, asthma, I don't know what it is. But you always got a laundry list of things. None of these have actually been diagnosed by a doctor, by the way, from you. You're just self-diagnosed. Oh, he thinks he can't. Oh, yeah. Paul, I'm going to order a pizza with cheese on it. You want any?
No, I don't eat cheese.
Why?
Because I don't eat cheese.
Why? Lactose intolerant.
No, he's not lactose intolerant. He's not at all. You just don't eat cheese. Why?
I don't eat cheese.
That's did you have a bad experience with cheese one time?
I did.
Chokes on it, like Evan and the meat?
No.
That's the meat sweats.
I don't eat cheese. I haven't had cheese. I had a bad experience when I was 12 or 13, and that was that.
And don't you have, like, IBS or something?
Yes.
Literally, or you think?
Yeah,
you
no, that was diagnosed.
Okay. Because every time, Oz, we're anywhere we have to go eat, we then have to walk around 45 minutes like we're an old married couple because he has to walk off the food unless he's going to get the diarrhea, basically. I mean, that's what it this is literally being friends with Paulie. This is what you have to go through for an hour with this guy. It's really uplifting. It's really a fun time.
Maybe that's why he got so tired down there in Disney. He thought it was work because he has that chromosome problem. And no fat flips, bud, on that calf, all right? Don't be pulling a fat scat.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, you got a bum calf there.
He's got a bum calf. He doesn't have enough chromosomes to work out and whatever it's called, Paul.
Chromosome.
It doesn't matter.
Is that a zone?
It doesn't matter. The fact is, you can lift weights. It's fine. The fact that you don't think you could build muscle. Now, I do think there's some of that where a guy can get a better six pack of abs because of genetics. But this idea, Paul, that you think that you can't build muscle because of a lack of a chromosome is outrageous. You just don't want to do it because it's not fun, especially in the beginning. Anything else?
With all that said, Rosie, I know you have, as Tommy put it, rats that tell you everything that Tommy says when you're not there on the radio.
Canaries.
Yes. Canaries, you mentioned rats. Potato, potato. The last time I spoke to Tommy, the last time you weren't there, Rosie, Tommy wants a little swinging action with you and your lady friend down in Disney.
Wait a minute.
With his wife.
Hold on. No.
So.
No, that's.
See, now this is interesting.
No,
Tommy.
It's not
It'll
that
be
interesting.
Wilder than the wave fool.
I would say the other guests would have to take a bath after they were in the wave pool if that's what's going on in the wave pool. But this is the truth according to Ozzy. If you remember last time, right. I suggested, Oz, that the next trip to Disney for Paulie and his lady friend, as he calls her, perhaps myself and my wife could attend in addition, and we could do a sort of a couple's retreat to Disney. Well, Ozzy's brain took it where we would be wife swapping.
Disney is for swingers. And the next time, okay. Paulie, he counts your vacation days, all right? You tell him that you'll be back in a reasonable amount of time, right?
Exactly.
Just like Connor Green.
Absolutely.
Pulling Aaron Boone. Yeah, exactly, Oz. I've had enough of you. The Connor Green will be back. If you guys miss Connor, I do too. You don't hear, and this is, I don't even want Paulie to play drops because, quite frankly, I mean, you know. So I'm not even going to ask him to do that stuff. But Connor is just a wizard back there. I miss him. The show misses him. It's fun when he's here. He plays a lot of funny stuff, all the Tommy personalities, to let him watch. The audience can't hear that for the last month because I don't know. Maybe I'll get to the bottom of it, but
we brought Rosie back because not only is he a really good player, but he's a tremendous teammate.
Paul just plays drops of himself. So basically Paul's doing his own show over
there. Well, that was Aaron Boone, not me.
No, but what did he say in the drop, though?
He was commenting on Ahmed Rosario.
Yeah, but it's Rosie, which is your nickname, so it's your way of telling the audience that you exist and you coming back. But yes, Connor Green will add to the show. He'll play all these awesome drops in the show. As funny as I am and as amazing as the show is, Connor Green adds to it even more. When I meet people in public, they just talk so much about Connor. They love him. I miss him. I haven't seen him basically in a month. And the show, to me, is just, it doesn't feel the same without him. I want him back because it's funny. And Rosenberg brings a lot to the different stuff, and Fliegelman the same thing. But I basically, one of my main producers, he hasn't been here in forever, and I really haven't been able to get to the bottom of it. In fact, he's not going to be here this week either. Okay. But the reasonable amount of time that Ozzy was referencing there was Aaron Boone on Talking Yanks John Boy podcast today. That was in reference to Giancarlo Stanton saying that he will be back in a reasonable amount of time. Boone on Stanton. He's, quote, actually doing pretty well and should be back in a reasonable amount of time. Reasonable. And no, I don't want to go to Disney and with your lady friend and get in the mix. Now, if she's interested in me, who can blame her? But I would have to tell her, listen,
I would also
sweetie,
say it's not a retreat.
I'd say, hold on, Toots. But no, I'm joking. That was a joke, by
the way. It's not a retreat. Disney is work. Let me make that clear.
No, let me make this clear for you right now, Paulie. Don't even get me. You're entering a world of pain right now. You're entering a world of pain. You're out of your element, Donnie. Do you really want to go down this rabbit hole, Paul? Your lovely lady friend.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest. It was her idea. She planned it. She did the legwork. If it was up to you, the trip probably wouldn't have taken place. Is that fair?
I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Okay, so that's Paulie code for I'm right. So it was her idea. She's a huge Disney fan. Awesome. great trip. You did other things, right? You did other stuff.
Yeah, no, it was a huge road. Yeah. It was a big road trip.
Huge
it wasn't
road
just Disney.
Correct. You're still in the early relationship where you both don't have to think about other people when you're making whoopee. So you're in that really fun stage of being in a couple. You get to have this excursion with her down in Disney. It's great. It could be a little romantic with the fireworks. You were there on the 4th of July. You have this great trip.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you, my friend, called it work. I'm sure your lady friend would not appreciate you referencing this getaway, your first real or long vacation together, as work.
I am just saying that it was, you needed it.
Part of it was work, dude? You put on clothes,
30,000 steps a day.
So
you have to be at this lightning lane.
So what?
You have to be at this restaurant. By the way.
Big deal. So you ate and you went on fun rides.
By the way.
No, by the way, nothing.
Right afterwards, when I came back on Friday morning, me and Tiki spoke about this at length.
Tiki has 75,000 kids he has to drag around Disney. You don't have any.
We agreed that you need a vacation from the Disney vacation.
Again, Tiki and his lovely wife, they go there with their kids. You didn't.
But still, he agreed with me, not you.
I'm sure if Tiki was young and single with a girlfriend, he wouldn't feel the same way about going to Disney.
I'm halfway to 80.
Oh, enough of this. Ask somebody that's 80 if you're young, right? You're young. You're telling me you can't walk around? Literally, children walk around this park. You, as a 40-year-old man who doesn't have apparently enough chromosome to build muscle and has a calf pull at a wave park.
That made it tougher.
You can't walk around Disney and go eat at nice restaurants and go on fun rides with a lady friend where you're still in that early stages where you like each other still. You're telling me that you can't do that for 2 weeks? That is somehow a chore?
I have to tell you, Tommy, I was considering getting the moto scooter.
There's no shot that she... Okay, let me rephrase what I'm about to say here. This stuff has to annoy her. There's just absolutely... She would be the first to not be annoyed by you. So this stuff probably has to irritate her a little bit, right? You were going to walk around... Or should I say, you were going to get on a motorized wheelchair?
Yeah.
Which is usually for people that really need it. You were going to take a motorized wheelchair because you, according to you, hurt your calf... At the Blizzard Beach wave pool?
Well, it was a Typhoon Lagoon wave pool.
Doesn't matter which wave pool it was.
And it wasn't just the cat. It was just, I was considering, you know, I have that. I have the muscle situation, the heart situation. Like,
you don't have a heart situation! But just stop it already! Could you stop? You couldn't walk around a Disney park?
I did.
No, but the idea that you thought about getting a motorized wheelchair.
I considered it.
But it's ridiculous.
They would have laughed.
They wouldn't have given it to you.
No, I think anyone can get one.
There's
I didn't go up to the booth, but I'm pretty sure anybody can get one.
Did she have a good time? Because if I was her, I would have had an awful time being there with you. Did she have at least a decent time? Because she's a huge Disney person. You would think you were there with her. Did she seem like
she certainly said she looked like she was having a wonderful time.
Perhaps, Paul, this is just a suggestion, but maybe next time you go to Disney, you train for it. You train for the walking, maybe get yourself into the shape of being able to walk so that when you go there...
I can walk. I was just considering something.
When you go there, you don't tear your hamstring at the lazy river. Just a thought. Just some friendly advice. Because when you are on rides like the lazy river and the wave pool... They really shouldn't result in injuries.
I would say the wave pool isn't a ride, it's an attraction.
Okay. But if you have kids and they're annoying, which all kids are, and you bring them to Disney and they react in a negative way, which all kids do, and they cry and they have just meltdowns, which all kids do, and they don't appreciate anything you've done for them, which all kids are like... And then the first thing they say when they leave Disney after they complained and cried the entire time, and the first question they have is, when are we coming back? Yes, I understand where you need a vacation from a vacation there. I do get that. But you and your lady friend, as you call her, don't have kids. So you are separate from all of that pain in the ass stuff. All you needed to do was literally walk around, eat, and go on rides. That's it. Richie joins us from Queens. What's up, Richie?
It's Dr. Fellow, Ozzy from Woodbridge. How are you?
I'm doing great, Richie. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, you were talking about your shows on the family, and obviously that's before your time. Could you imagine watching that for the first time? You know what a groundbreaking thing that was?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Comments. I fell off the couch, I got to tell you, Tommy.
Yeah.
It was just incredible. And he took such a shot to think that it was going to work. And obviously it did, even to this day. You know,
well, and that's what Cameron O'Connor had to deal with, is the fact that everybody saw him as Archie Bunker when he was anything but Archie Bunker. And that's sometimes you get sort of, I'm sure Ed O'Neill went through that as Al Bundy. Like sometimes people start to see you as that character, to where when they meet you in person, they call you by the character name and they just think you are that person. When in reality, it's just you're acting and you're an actor.
Well, Cal O'Connor was an established actor, too. He was,
Stapleton. But obviously not the success of All in the Family. Like, once you become that type of character, people are just unfortunately going to always see you as Archie Bunker and not necessarily the man behind the character.
You know, I was thinking, you mentioned Aaron Boone, and he, it's amazing that he spoke. I know he's been there every year, but after a while you need a change. And I was thinking, if you were the manager, you know, they call him Positive Aaron.
Yeah.
You imagine, say you are the manager, and then you have, like, you lost 13 in a row. You're 14 out with 15 games to go. And I can hear you say, listen, if we go on a 15-game winning streak, and they say, but Tom, you've been playing so bad. No, irregardless of that, this team has got potential.
Yeah.
But they say, but you've lost 22 out of 26. You would find the positives.
Yeah, and I would try to point to examples. Like right now, I would point to what the Red Sox are doing. I mean, they were in the basement. They look like sellers.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they won 14.
I'm
sure. And they fired their manager. The Red Sox fans definitely gave up on the year. This woe is me. And then all of a sudden now Boston, you know, people are talking about them like they're going to make a run to the World Series. So things can change on a dime in baseball. Even if things look bleak, even if things are bad for a couple of months, any team can turn it around.
You know, and I really, not that I'm excited.
Richie, I'll let you finish. One of the reasons why the my fellow Met fans are upset is because if the expectations going into the year were the team were going to be bad, no one would be upset right now. But the fact that everybody thought they'd be good, or a lot of people thought they'd be good, and they've done what they've done, that tells you, though, that people believed in the team. So if you've believed in the team, then why not have an opportunity to turn it around? You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you went into the year with high expectations and they haven't met them, but they could meet them because you had those high expectations for a reason. You believed in the team to a degree.
Yeah, I think the two biggest disappointments are your team, the Mets, and my team, the Giants. The Giants were predicted to win 84 games. A lot of people felt that the Mets could win the division. But look, they've got Thornton, who looks like a real deal. I know it's early. I don't get crazy. Obviously, McClain. Obviously, Scott. They have pieces.
Yep.
You know, Weaver. Did they trade him at this point? You still need a foundation for next year.
You do. I've gone back and forth on that, Richie. I could go either way on that one. I'd be happy if they. I can understand trading him. I can understand keeping Luke Weaver. Look, he's on a 2-year deal, $11 million per year. Obviously, this is the first year of the deal. To your point, if they trade a Raley, a Minter, a Brazoban, you still need guys to pitch next year. The flip side of that, though, Rich, is that, you know, unless you're a Mason Miller or an Edwin Diaz, you know, the cream of the crop as far as relievers, guys can be very up and down year to year. So it's the idea of this is the best you're going to see of Weaver, and next year he wouldn't be that level. That would be one of the reasons you would trade for him, because this is the highest of value he's going to have.
Yeah, and his track record has been up and down. Mason Miller has been a straight up.
No doubt.
And your point was well taken. He's under he's under control for the next 4 years.
Mason Miller.
The other one Mason Miller. And I was talking to Shawnee and Tiki the other day about, they're going to go out and get a catcher like Goodman. Goodman is a staple in Colorado. He's not going anywhere. They play offense more than and pitching over there. So he's not going to go anywhere. So I'm curious what they do for a catcher, because they obviously need it. But
the Shea Langeliers from the Athletics, his name is sort of being bantered about. That would be a huge coup, I think,
for the pickup.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, a big-time power hitter, hits for a pretty good average, all things considered. That would be a great pickup for the Yanks.
And one more thing. The guy that's under the radar that I think has had an underachieving year is Bellinger. I think Bellinger
He's due to get hot. And he was hot in the start of the year. And that's one of the reasons, which I appreciate the call, why Bellinger was on the All-Star team, obviously won the All-Star MVP. Bellinger, for that stretch where the Yankees were not playing good baseball, was a disappointment. The one thing I'll say about Bellinger, though, is that he helps you win in multiple different ways. Like, he's obviously a plus, beyond plus. He's a great defensive player. He can do other things when he's not hitting to still help you win games. But, yeah, I expect him to wake up, for sure. So I don't know if I'd call it disappointing, because he was an all-star this year. The numbers are at least there where you say, all right, if he continues on this trajectory, continues to have those numbers for the rest of the year, and you look back, you say, all right, what were the numbers? You'd say, all right, it was a good year. And like I said, he's always going to bring the strong defense. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to the Mets as that has gone final in Milwaukee. We'll get into Zach Thornton's performance tonight, A.J. Ewing's performance. We'll talk about Harbaugh and Scataboo and Harbaugh's reaction to Scataboo's failed backflip attempt. I see a bunch of you on hold for the Ask Tommy Anythings. Don't go anywhere. I want to make sure I get to you. We have another hour or so to do that, so just hang tight. We will address those Ask Tommy Anythings coming up as well. The phone number to join the conversation, if you haven't already, it's 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, here on The Fan. 1048 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Lugie evening
on the big Lugowski. Hopefully everybody is having a pleasant Lugie evening. And this is a five-hour after hours, a big Lugowski. It has gone final in Milwaukee, 4-0 Mets. Zach Thornton with another strong performance, 6 shutout innings. A.J. Ewing with 2 terrific catches out in the outfield. Let's start with Thornton first. Look, when I look at this young rotation, and Zach Thornton was not on the report that came out last week from SNY, from Chelsea Janes. Zach Thornton was not on that list of untouchables. Well, put him on the list. He should be there. Zach Thornton, I don't think, is going anywhere, nor should he. I'm very excited about this young pitcher. When I look at McClain, I look at Scott, I look at Thornton, I see a core of young pitchers that could be a big part of this rotation for years and years to come. There's a lot to be excited about with all three of them. I'm glad Thornton is getting more of an opportunity here in the second half. He's obviously going to get more starts if he continues to pitch the way he pitched last night and the way he pitched going into the All-Star break. So there's a lot to be positive and excited about when it comes to those three young starting pitchers. I mean, the Brewers are one of the best teams in all of baseball. To shut them down, 4 hits for the entire game. Thornton only gave up 3 and 6 innings, only allowed the 4 base runners, no runs. Very economical, only 81 pitches. That was a tremendous performance from Thornton. And as far as A.J. Ewing, I've sung A.J.'s performances a lot this year, and I've sung his praises. He has been absolutely sensational. To me, A.J. Ewing, we talk about Cody Bellinger last segment, how he can help you win a baseball game in many different ways. I feel the same about A.J. Ewing as far as a leadoff hitter, hitting for a high average, the speed, even the power has been there more than a lot of people projected from him for his major league career. The defense, which is sensational, whether it's in center, whether it's in left, he has the ability, Ewing does, to play the infield. He just looks like a ball player. He looks like a guy that can help you contribute and can contribute to wins in a lot of different ways. So I really like what I've seen from A.J. Ewing in his, you know, early stages of his young Met career. So the baby Mets, the Thorntons, the Ewings had a big contribution. Another 3 hits from Francisco Lindor. Benj had 2 hits. So Benj, Ewing, Thornton, really those young Mets just at the forefront here. And there's a lot to be excited about. I'm positive about this. The Mets have a bright future, and it starts with guys like McClain and, of course, Soto, Benj, Ewing, Thornton, Scott. And as far as Lindor, who's gotten hot as of late, another 3-hit game tonight, I'm not trading him if I'm the Mets. It doesn't make any sense on a lot of levels as far as the player, as far as the talent. You're giving up one of the stars on your team. A guy that can hit 30 home runs, steal 30 bases, play great defense at shortstop. I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. I'm not going to feed and fuel the negativity and everything that has sort of surrounded Francisco Lindor over the last, you know, 8 to 9 months. I'm just not going to do that. But for the sake of this conversation, let's just say Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto don't get along. Well, if they don't get along or they're not the best of friends, number one, they don't have to be. But let's just say they have a relationship that needs a little bit repairing in order to keep both of them on the same team for years to come. Well, then you hire the right manager. You get the right people in this clubhouse, this locker room, whether it's vets, whether it's the manager. In my case, it would be an Alex Cora to manage this team. You bring him in, Cora, And I believe he could mend the fences that need to be mended with Soto and Lindor, which I still think is a little bit overblown because chemistry in baseball, as much as you'd love to have some chemistry in baseball and you, as much as you love everybody to, well, love each other, it's not like basketball. It's like the Knicks. They won a championship. I mean, they have Jalen Brunson, but also and the best starting five in basketball. But it was the depth and the continuity and the chemistry and the cohesiveness that ultimately led to that championship. But that's basketball. Got to move the ball around. You got to know where everybody's going to be, one step ahead of the game. In baseball, Juan Soto goes to the plate by himself. Juan Soto stands in left field by himself. Francisco Lindor sits there at shortstop by himself. It is a individual sport played as a team. You don't need necessarily the chemistry in baseball like you do need in basketball. Not everybody in the clubhouse is going to love each other. Not everybody in an office building loves each other. That's just the way it works. And when things are going the way they have gone the first couple months, you know, that stuff comes more to the forefront because it becomes less about the games and the X's and O's and more about, does this guy not like this guy or this guy can't get along with that guy? For the sake of the conversation, if they don't get along and they're not the best of friends, I would hire the right manager or bring in the right people in this clubhouse to help mend those fences and build a better relationship. Look, I don't think they're ever going to be the best of friends. It sounds like they have different outside interests. I mean, Juan Soto on a Saturday night on an off night in the offseason would rather go to a batting cage, and Francisco Lindor would rather go to the Met Gala. And by that, I don't mean the Metropolitans. I mean fashion. He'd rather go to a fashion show. He'd rather go to Milan. And Juan Soto would rather go to, I guess, Paterson, New Jersey and hit baseballs, which, like, to each their own. They have different personalities. They probably have different outside interests when it comes to their off time. They're still both two great baseball players and I think pillars of this team to go along with the young core of Benj and Ewing and Scott and Thornton and McLean and Francisco Alvarez. Let me throw him in there. And you know how I feel about Mark Vientos, who's on the shelf right now. He's dealing with an injury, and I think Mark Vientos, and I know I'm a supporter, so maybe you think I'm just being a little bit biased here, but Mark Vientos, I think, was given a bit of a raw deal. No fault of anybody. I mean, Polanco was supposed to be the first baseman. He got hurt. Young would have been the second first baseman. He got hurt. And Mark Vientos had to play a position that he's not equipped to play. He's a DH, Mark Vientos. That's what he is. And I still think he's a guy that can contribute to a team that has postseason aspirations. And to circle back to Lindor, if you're the Mets, you're trading him when his value isn't at the highest and you're eating a lot of money. So business-wise, it makes no sense. And as far as for your baseball team personnel-wise, it makes no sense to trade one of your best players. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment when it comes to Francisco Lindor. I don't know what's going on this year. What's happening right now? Is this Cosmic Brownies? You finally came through. It took, what, 3 or 4 months? Paul Rosenberg has finally delivered the Cosmic Brownies to me. So what I'm looking at right now, a Little Debbie box, Cosmic Brownies with chocolate chip candy. It is a, boy, is this what you paid for it? I'm definitely not reimbursing you if this is what you paid for.
It was.
$3.19? Yeah, I'm not, you don't bill the company or bill me. All right. I'm excited to hop in right now. Let's open this up. Good job, Paulie. Look at this. Now, I'm not sharing this with you, meaning you get your own.
Yeah.
These almost, they feel like they're frozen a little bit.
You asked me to put them in the fridge.
So I did. You're right. I did.
Save it in the fridge.
Okay. I would have said, and we could do this maybe tomorrow or another day, to try them not being in the fridge. So we have them frozen here. I am ripping one up. They are the Cosmic Brownies. So it looks like they have a little bit of fudge on the top. And then the sort of the, what would you call it? The base of it is your typical brownie base. And then there appear to be sort of a sprinkles or things on it. What do they call it here? Chocolate chip candy. That's what they call it from Little Debbie's. All right, I'm about to eat it. Excellent. Excellent. Now, it's very good. I love that it's cold. I'm a big brown. Yeah, don't want to choke here. I'm a big brownie guy. If I choke, you're in charge, boy. I'm a huge brownie guy, and I love it too when it has a fudge, which this does. It has that fudge on the top. The only thing, and it's not your fault I didn't ask for this, milk. Milk. To me, when you're having a chocolate chip cookie or a brownie, you need milk with it.
I'm not
going to have water with a brownie like I'm a, what are you, a serial killer? Who the hell has a Did you just say to have water with a brownie? Yes. Literally.
Yes.
That's something that a serial killer would say.
Seriously.
Like, imagine saying that to somebody. Imagine going on a first date, and you go get dinner, and then afterwards you go to a bakery, and you get brownies, which, why wouldn't you? This is so good. The box is huge, too, by the way. What's the calories on this? Well, whatever. It is summer. I don't want to put on the LBs, but imagine going on your first date, and you go get brownies, and you tell a girl, well, yeah, I drink water with a brownie. She would probably think that you are a serial killer. It's like Son of Sam. I mean, that's probably what he did. He probably had water with his brownie. You have to have milk with a brownie or nothing. All right, I'm having another bite here. So good. It's just the way I remembered him. I can't tell you the last time I had a cosmic brownie. Literally, I can't tell you the last time I had him. So good, though. All right, it took you a while, Paulie, but you know what? Attaboy. Attaboy. You delivered. And you surprised me. I'm sitting here talking about the Mets. Next thing I know, there's fudge in my mouth. And that's never a bad thing. That's never a bad thing. So we're going to leave this box, sort not here because it'll be gone tomorrow, but we'll leave it for the show. And we'll try them another time. Not because they're not frozen right now, but I want to try them a little bit melted where the fudge gets all over my fingers. And then I lick my fingers. But I need a glass of milk. So I got to find some milk here in the studios. All right. One more moment. It is that brownie. I'm a fan. Tommy Lugau.
Loogie!
I'm a brownie. And if you want to ask Tommy anything, you can ask me anything. Sorry, I had a little fudge there in my teeth. If you want to ask me anything, you can for the final hour. We will finally get into the John Harbaugh, Kim Scatterboo situation, what Harbaugh had to say about Scatterboo and the failed backwards flip. We'll take your calls on the Mets and Yankees and the trade deadline. And the number to call to have those conversations is 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie Late Night, here on the Fan.